Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. And we are thrilled, fortunate, in awe to be joined by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Greg Edwards.
Hey, fellas, thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back.
Thank you for stopping by, man. It's always good to see you. Oh,
yeah, Miles, hold up. First and foremost, let me see that hair, man. Let me see that head. Come on, take that top off. Oh, come on, man. You got a nice dome piece.
I got a good dome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, great shaped head.
You got that Buddha dome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, if I ever, you know, need to flee the law, I will just put an orange robe on and go to Southeast Asia.
It's a wrap.
Sorry. Bye, motherfuckers.
It's a wrap. You tell it. You good to go.
Just give me my beads and shit. I'm good.
You should, you know what? You could be a dope DJ. Just put the robe on.
Yeah, I thought about that as a bit. Like, and just wear like white on white Air Forces and stuff. And like, yo, he's on a wave.
You can make $3 million in like 2 months.
Yeah, watch.
That.
Okay, sure. Look,
easy
TikTok experiment. I'm the funky monk.
There you go.
This guy's lit. He smokes blunts and gives wisdom, like sage like advice.
Nah, you can't talk. You just got to do it Mos Def style and write everything down.
Oh shit! Right. Shout out Yasin Bey.
That's the way to do it.
He doesn't talk. He just writes things down now.
Well, he used to do. He did that for like a year. He just wrote everything down.
Yeah,
I guess you know. Cool. I guess that cocaine was really good that year.
It's like I can't open my mouth. It starts moving weird. I'm gonna just clench my teeth and write.
Brent, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I mean, let me see. I mean, because sometimes it's just like addresses and that's kind of boring, you know, just like looking up addresses. Okay, well, here's something that I looked up. Like, this is probably one of the most recent non-addresses, I guess. is Dave Koz, 90210.
Okay.
So I had seen this already in the past, but I was thinking about it recently. And you guys probably don't know who Dave Koz is, or do you?
No.
Dave Koz is a smooth jazz saxophonist.
Okay.
And his hit track is called You Make Me Smile, or something like that. Something about smile. I think it's You Make Me Smile. And there's an episode of Beverly Hills 90210 where they, on Kelly's 21st birthday, I didn't watch the show, but somebody brought this to my attention, and it's so funny. They go to this Dave Koz concert for her birthday, and these kids are 20, you know, they're supposed to be 21, right? Whatever.
Oh,
and they're going to this
rules.
Smooth jazz concert. Now, look, when I was in high school, I liked smooth jazz right. myself, but I was an anomaly, you know?
Right.
They're all into it, including Brian Austin Green's character, and, you know, who was, I think, probably into hip hop at the time, but they're all at this concert, yep. and Dave Koz is, it's, first of all, he's wearing these huge puffed out pants. They look like hammer pants. And he's wearing this vest. He looks kind of like a genie, you know, almost, and a smooth jazz genie. And he's playing the saxophone and kind of doing these funny kind of dance moves as he's playing the saxophone. And it's just funny to see all these young people at this show as if they would be into this, and
right.
They're all in their early 20s, and they're all kind of, you know, they're nodding their head to it, and they're into it. And it just, I'm just wondering which producer was a smooth jazz fan and thought
right.
this was be an accurate thing for kids to go to is to go.
Oh,
to
this is
jazz
gratuitous. I'm just watching this scene on mute, and like, it's like one of those things where like in a movie where they somehow just brute force inserted like a music performance. You're like, this is fucking up the whole
right.
flow of the film right now.
right.
But apparently y'all signed some fucked up contract, which made you had someone had to sing a ballad right now. But it's like a 2 minute clip, and
yeah.
they're just showing like the people on all the instruments jamming,
yeah,
motherfuckers
yeah.
slapping on bass. And then like, yeah, the young kids are like, man, this is that sound.
Right. It's so funny because they would never be at that show. I mean, and you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, like I said, I'm in a smooth jazz. I was always in a smooth jazz, but that's, you know, these kids are not, they weren't like me, you know?
Right. Brian Austin Green, I will give him credit. He does look a little bit checked out.
No, look at him. He gets back into it, though.
Oh, he
seems
gets
checked out at first, and
he's right back.
I think he got inspired or something for a second, and his mind drifted,
exactly.
but then he gets back,
oh,
and he's
yeah.
just like,
right.
oh, yeah. The only one who does maybe seem not as into it is Dylan, is
right.
he's maybe not into it, and then Jason Priestley's kind of looking at Kelly, looking at her, thinking, so do you like this, or like...
Yo, she's licking her lips looking at the
yeah.
stage.
I mean, it's fucking hot.
So one of the producers must have been friends with Dave Koz or something.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's such a thing that happens in shows about teenagers that are clearly written by, you know, people in their 40s. Their taste in culture is always very strange.
I mean, imagine, though, an alternate reality where smooth jazz was the dominant, most popular kind of music, you know, in
right.
you know what I mean, for young people.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Imagine if that was only a young person's thing, in fact. You know,
be a lot less fights in high school, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
We're like, oh, you bumping that new Pat Metheny album?
Yeah. Maybe different kind of fights, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Much more expressive. I yeah. do wonder if Dylan was, because Dylan was, you know, in his late 30s playing a, you know, 19-year-old. What, like, was he pretending? Was he the only one who was checked out because he was like
secretly
aware of that and like, yeah, didn't want people to like, couldn't be too into it, or else it would like reveal
right.
his 45-year-old heart?
He's kind of trying to be like a narc, but
right.
I mean, he is a narc, and he's trying to not reveal that he's a narc,
right?
You know?
Right, right, right.
I mean, within the world of the show or whatever. So he's over there kind of just maybe like really restraining himself from like really grooving to it, you know?
Right.
And, but he's like, if I get into this too much, I'm going to seem too young.
Yeah. Because
gotta be
still
cool.
out here doing it.
So yeah, no, I thought, so that was something, I mean, I'd seen that already, but I was thinking about it recently and I thought, what's up with that? I want to watch that clip again. I want to see, or I want to know also does anybody talk about this too? Does anyone, I was wondering if anybody was noticed that and thought that was weird, you know?
No.
Right.
Cause like you look at the, like on the YouTube video of it, there's two comments. One is someone just being like, talking about the storyline from 90210. And then another person says, wow, Dave plays alto saxophone, but out comes a nice soprano saxophone. Ha, ha, ha. And those are the two things.
I think they're wrong
that
about that, though, because I was looking, I think I saw that comment too about this alto versus
like
soprano.
It looks like an alto.
It looks like an alto. Yeah. I was looking at that too. I said, that's not a soprano.
It's much bigger, but hey, you know what? Whatever. And I have a feeling that when you have a band playing as themselves, the musician will probably bring his own instrument because it's like a very fancy silver saxophone.
Right.
Oh, Dave.
That's what Kenny G plays, right?
He plays soprano saxophone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like other examples where the age of the producers was like kind of sublimated onto the young characters, and I was just
and incongruous with like what
completely incongruous. Yeah. Like the fact that the like 5 to 9 year olds in Full House were really into the Beach Boys, and like it was clearly just like a John Stamos and John the producers like pipe dream. Yeah
What are some other examples of that? I wonder what the that's kind of a funny thing to that's a funny subject, you know, like people being into stuff that they shouldn't be into.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like early seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, some of the way that students talk, they talk like they're from the 70s suddenly. And I know it's like slightly campy, but this sounds like some old white dude just wrote all of this dialogue for this young teen girl. But it seems like the slang was probably the thing that I most like tune into. I'm like, yo, nobody talks like that age.
Right.
But I don't know.
Also, you know, there was a show, I never watched this show, it was kind of after my time, but my little brothers watched a show on Nickelodeon called Hey Arnold, it was a show for kids, I guess, but there was jazz in that, I think smooth jazz, in fact. I think there was smooth jazz in that, too, I think.
Like, people are gonna, like, in the way that a Marlon Brando character, not the one from The Godfather, was like a lesser known mob movie, but he invented the way that mobsters dressed. Like, there's going to be a future world where kids all listen to that because they think that that's what kids used to listen to, even though it was completely made up for this
right
by like 40 something TV producers in the early 90s. What is something you think is overrated, Caitlin?
Well, speaking of tourism and going to places with beaches, I think going to the beach is overrated.
Yeah.
There, I said it.
Wait, why?
Damn.
Because of what?
Burn.
I don't know. It's hot. It's sandy. You get sand everywhere. There's like nothing fun to do. The water's always cold. I always like, even if it's not cold, the salt water is like irritating to my skin.
You sound like someone who's going down a list of things to pivot to. Like when you're like, come on, let's go to the beach. You're like, ah, it's sandy. It's like, no, this part is really nice. Yeah, but the water's cold. No, the water's actually really great right now. Yeah, but then once you're in, it's like the salt. I'm like, okay, look, you don't want to go. It's fine. You don't want to go.
Me, sharks, maybe.
Sharks. There's seaweed. You might get bit by a crab. There's this.
You know, those ferocious teeth.
I've never had like a great time at the beach. I've had
To hear that.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just going with the wrong people. Maybe we're bringing the wrong things. I don't know. I just don't enjoy myself at the beach.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I think I definitely don't go to the beach as much like locally. Like if I'm going other parts of California, like I'll hit the beach, but I've gotten so used to the LA beaches. I'm like, I'm like spoiled from being around this part of the Pacific too long. It's a terrible thing to say, but that's just how I feel. But it's funny because Her Majesty, whenever we go somewhere, even up the coast remotely, I'm like, yeah, let's go to the beach. It's like, what the fuck? You don't, I'm like, I don't like the beaches near me. I like the concept though, especially when it's warm.
Right.
Gwyneth Paltrow just had a quote that I read somewhere.
About a beach?
Yeah, it was like very, I am always happiest by the sea. Just the exact opposite, which I think is...
That's a good indicator, I guess.
I am always happiest by, in, or on the sea. And then she used that to tease her...
her cruise, right?
Her cruise line, baby.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, there's a Goop cruise.
Stop it.
It's called like Goop at Sea or some shit.
Yeah.
Yo, this is kind of a bit. Oh my God. You and Jamie got to go on this and just tell us what the fuck. Okay. It's like a fucked up Titanic. Goop at Sea.
Ew, I don't. Okay, I'll go on it.
Actually, no, that sounds like that sounds like you're actually putting your like you're actually putting yourself in harm's way. Like on paper, goop at sea doesn't end well for fucking anyone involved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've always been happiest by, on, or in the sea.
We talked about that one like fucking thing she tried to have in like the UK, and everyone's like, "Yo, she's scamming us!"
Right?
When they had like a goop conference and shit. So, yeah. Sea Gwyneth?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a pass.
What about under the sea? Like in Little Mermaid? Is she happy under the sea? I've always been happiest
at the bottom of the sea.
With the other bottom feeders.
Anyways, I am closer to your take on the sea than Gwyneth's. I think you're right.
I thought you're Mr. Ocean City.
Ocean City. I go to Ocean City for the boards, man. For the pizza. I'll go for the beach.
The fucking spuckness for the herbs.
Okay. I mean, I actually like I like an Atlantic Ocean beach better than a Pacific Ocean beach because the ocean's warm and dirty like me. I don't know. I just feel more at home there. And like living in LA, like every time I go to the beach, I feel like I should be wearing a sweater and like a knit cap.
When are y'all going to the beach? You know it does get warm. You guys are always describing like going to the beach in November or some shit.
No,
well, I know there's it has to burn off in the like, you know, we get the June gloom and shit, but there's
right.
You gotta pick your spots. Shit,
I've been in like August and the water is still freezing.
Yeah. The water the Pacific Ocean is underrated, like just fucking so much colder than the Atlantic. I didn't realize that until I got out here and started not going to the beach at all.
Started my amateur oceanography exploits.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think that is underrated. I'm just going to say what I wrote down, but as I'm about to say it and looking at it on my computer screen, this is probably very correctly rated. But a thing that I very much liked is a couple weeks ago, I was at Costco. And I bought from Costco for approximately $100 an entire leg of jamón de serrano. Comes with a stand, comes with a knife,
yep.
And
in a crate.
It's got a crate with a handle.
Yep.
And was sort of loosely running, kind of like a we'll call it quasi to illegal tapas bar for some vaccinated folks.
Oh, really?
Oh, Andrew, you didn't invite me.
You should come by, honestly.
I'm more mad about that. I'm like, I'm coughing everywhere. Like, man, cut me off some of that jamón real quick.
But yeah, I got pretty good at slicing the jamón, you know, a lot of olives, a lot of just pan con tomate.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the Spanish olives with the anchovies inside?
I will not.
Look, baby, invite me over. We could complete the whole party, baby. I come with the Spanish goods.
Well, no, I got that at a black-owned cheese shop in Silver Lake, and I was definitely, like, upsold on them because I think they were unconscionably expensive.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, it was a very expensive jar of olives.
I got a plug for those olives too.
Yeah. If you got a guy, that's gonna help you.
Oh, I got a guy. It's actually a Spaniard friend of mine, but that's how I found out about that Costco deal because my mom had one like years ago at her house. I said, "What the fuck are you doing, fool?" Like, the doctor said you have high blood pressure. You can't be eating a whole leg of salt meat.
Bring that over here.
Yeah, and I was like, man, let me cut a little slice off of there. But yeah, then I realized they have this deal there that is just. It almost seems like a challenge of like, can you eat this entire pig's leg?
Yeah.
So I just Googled jamón de serrano and the best price you're getting anywhere on the internet is $300.
Yeah.
That's
wild.
I don't know what kind of scale or kickback Costco has going with Spain. Stickers on it. It you know, I don't understand how it works, but it appears to be a stamped and bonded jamón de serrano. So I don't know what the quality variation is in that to get that price down to what it is. It comes with a knife.
Yeah, right. It's not like untaxed cigarettes that the mob sells. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, shit is for real.
I don't know. Yeah, as far
duties
as
duties have been
tell.
Paid.
Yeah, I hope.
Maybe was not, this just like a temporary thing where they're like, we just this shipment was like.
I don't think it's year round, is it? I feel like it's a certain time of year that it
happens. This was around Easter, so I assume.
Oh right.
That's when it's Hamon time. It's Hamon time.
Come on, stop.
Yeah.
Hamon time. Mm-hmm. Hamon time. Yeah. Well, look, I love a good Hamon Serrano.
So I don't know if this is So is that underrated or anyway? It's fucking the best.
I thought you were gonna say I was at Costco and I was like, when you ate that whole rotisserie chicken that you were talking about on the internet?
No, I just ate the legs off that rotisserie chicken. Yeah, that's the other thing I've been doing is I've been trying to help out with this mutual aid group that does stuff in Skid Row. And one thing that I was doing that week was picking up water for Skid Row. But because I was at Costco, I was like, so I got a pallet of 9 flats of water and 1 rotisserie chicken and nothing else. And I'm curious what the employees at Costco think I'm up to. Because,
I mean, Hamon and the rotisserie chicken will make you thirsty.
What's your secret? Yeah. A lot of water, Iberian ham, and fucking rotisserie chicken.
But that Costco chicken, that is not underrated because people love that shit.
People
right?
know.
It's so good.
Anybody work Holy at Costco, fuck. They can let us in on like, is there a TikTok video yet where someone shows you how they make that shit?
I don't, they have a lot of stickers on it about how it is not full of hormones for something that is clearly has to be full of hormones. Like, it's actually less unnerving to imagine it's full of hormones than imagining
than it not.
Yeah, because it's too big. Right. It's fucked up.
Chicken should not be that size.
Yeah, so I don't know. But, it was so good. Yeah, and just like, you know, doing that thing where you're like, it smells so good in the car. I'm just going to pick a little bit off. And then, like, two minutes later... I'm like driving with my wrists, trying to get home because my hands are so greasy.
Like a little kid in another car is like, "Mom, that man's eating a football."
Yeah,
it's like, no, it's really, just the middle torso.
I really went buck wild on that Costco chicken. It is the best.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
The salt, that's the answer. Yeah. Almost, it's seasoned. Probably like it's just so seasoned. There's not have a dull bite. It'll preserve your mouth though.
So, yeah. Oh, so good. Anyway,
they're so good at deals.
Getting my salt from Costco.
$5 chicken. There was just a story that was almost definitely seeded by Costco, but someone who's like high up in the organization threatened to kill someone else if they raised the prices on the hot dog.
Yeah. Which I think that was the CEO.
You raise the hot dog prices, I'll kill you. Figure it out. Which,
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work, but for that hot dog.
But for the hot dog, keep the price. We'll make it work. I'll find somebody that can make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's me.
All right, so shout out to Costco, BetterHelp, and Dyson Vacuum.
Dyson, And this mean dogs.
Are they chilling together? They're homies.
Oh,
cute. Mm-hmm. You can see him. I'll make sure the photo I send for this episode includes the chihuahua.
Oh, good.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And yesterday, vaccine patents started making the rounds again because Joseph Robinette Biden and some members of the EU started to come around on this idea of waiving the vaccine patents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we just wanted to kind of talk through the issue and why we should really be concerned for Pfizer and other big pharma companies.
Absolutely.
Because we're worried about them. We're worried about them, guys.
Yeah, the profits.
So overall, the issue that we're trying to address is that richer countries have received 87% of COVID vaccines, while low-income countries have gotten just 0.2% as of earlier this week. Half have gone to the richest 16% of the world's population, which means that nations in the global south may not reach widespread vaccination until 2023. And
well, what's the problem? What's the problem? You know, you can't afford the vaccines. They're for sale.
Yeah.
Buy some.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is supply, Miles, to answer your question. Like, we could ramp up production of effective vaccines around the world if the companies who developed those vaccines would allow their tech to be shared. And that's something they're not willing to do because they're like, we invested this money. It would be a bad investment in this one specific case if we let the patent be shared.
For the global pandemic.
Yeah, because it would set a precedent for future, like once in a century global pandemics. Yeah, that's fine. We want to set that precedent, you fucking monsters. But yeah, so it's just, it's pretty open and shut. Like, they have a bunch of objections on the capitalist side. And like, when anytime you read an article about this from like Reuters, where they're interviewing investment bankers on this, they have all sorts of objections like, well, it's actually not the fact that the vaccine hasn't been shared or that the patents haven't been lifted. It's actually like, these countries don't have enough vaccine factories, or like they're not up to the task. And
which
so,
is a lie for India. India is one of the primary manufacturers of the vaccine.
Right.
It's just that they're shipping them out to other countries.
But this is always, I mean, there are so many people, anytime you're advocating to do something unprofitable, there are millions of people who have been educated, you know, beyond any point of necessity to
cat-brained.
Yeah, just to come up with excuses to of why not to do stuff.
Where they don't even know what they're saying.
Yeah, they don't know what they're saying. They probably believe what they're saying, you know. And Bill Gates, for instance, talk about somebody who can like talk themselves into anything, has been a key driver of the claim that this wouldn't help, that lifting the patents wouldn't help. It's just total bullshit.
It's wild because, I mean, this is the thing that this is what gives me, this is the one great thing that, I mean, not the one great thing, but this is a very interesting development in this country, that the president of the United States would go against the market, would go against big pharma and their right. wills to say, no, fuck your, like, no, we need let everybody make this fucking vaccine so we can get the world right. Like, what's the fucking deal here? It took a long time for them to begin to become supportive of this idea of waiving or of creating the patent waivers. But I think it's pretty significant considering like that a United States president is going to do that. I think that should be sort of underscored. Because also it's funny when you saw when the news broke, all the Moderna and Pfizer stock took a shit on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Like fell off a fucking cliff, which shows you how this whole fucking, like, these motherfuckers are saying, oh, what, they're about to be generous?
Yeah. But then it stabilized because all those millions of overeducated people had, you know, the talking points to be like, no, this isn't going to change anything. Nobody's going to be able to do this. Like, they just kept on with that same argument that this doesn't change anything, that, you know, lifting the patents. It's wild for me to see how the mainstream media has like kind of played into this. There's been a ton of reporting about how foreign like hackers are targeting vaccine data. Like, who the fuck cares? Let everyone have the formula for a life-saving vaccine, for fuck's sake. But that's like headlines from Bloomberg. Cyber attackers leaked COVID-19 vaccine data after EU hack. North Korea accused of hacking Pfizer for COVID-19 vaccine data. It's like, we should just give it to everybody. What the fuck is wrong with you? And JM, our writer, pointed out that like back in the day, because that was my first question, is like, well, how did in the 1940s, like when the polio vaccine was created or whenever the fuck that was, how were they able to ramp that up so quickly and get that, you know, just distributed globally? And the vaccine nationalism wasn't around back then. You know, nationalism was kind of a big deal back in the early 20th century, but vaccine nationalism, not so much. Somebody asked Jonas Salk, like, who owns the patent on this vaccine? Jonas Salk said, the people. There is no patent. Could you patent the sun? So, yeah.
Okay. You can patent the sun, and I'm trying to right now, asshole.
I think Elon Musk is planning to do that sketch on SNL.
Yeah.
It's
normalized patenting the sun.
It's really just depressing that people are so short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit of eradicating this virus far outweighs the profit that you could make from selling it.
Yeah.
If you can turn the world back on and get everybody back to just consuming, then you're going to make billions of dollars anyway. And all of these pharma companies are going to be able to create their own booster shots, and they're going to be vaccinating people till the end of time. It's not like there's money to be lost. It's just slightly less money than you're already going to make. And I want to make this point very clear that other than, I believe, Pfizer, all of these companies took government subsidies in order to produce these vaccines, in order to develop them and then ramp them up for production through Operation Warp Speed.
Moderna is based on a like combined modified RNA study by the National Institute of Health, to the point that their name is modified RNA, MADA RNA. Moderna is what they name themselves after. From this one discovery made by publicly funded research, they were like, oh shit, that's a good idea. We're going to jump on that. We're going to make billions of dollars off of it. And then they're going to tell us to go fuck ourselves when it's time for them to help the world. Yeah, that's one of the most hugely underrated like stories in America is how much, you know, the internet was invented by taxpayer funded programs and shit like that.
Right.
But
well, because I mean, even though Pfizer didn't take United States government money, BioNTech took German government funding, like,
right,
and almost in like close to like $500 million.
Yeah.
So regardless, like all of these are made through public funding. And yep. So regardless, like, because even when you look at the projections of the money that these companies stand to make, they've already made more than they did last year in this first quarter off vaccines.
Yeah, yep. But they spent that money already, Miles. There's a
there's
just a whole fucking armada of yachts that has taken.
No,
to
for
sea.
Real, exactly. But so, that's I think what's so poisonous about this, and I think it's so odd if the more people, I don't know, like especially the media can't just report on the absurdity of how this system is working, where even like you're saying, Dave, you need consumers to keep your capitalist machine going, because yeah. if people are too sick, they can't buy your stupid products. So yep. it behooves you to have healthy consumers, just even in the cynical logic of capitalism or consumer capitalism, have healthy consumers with expendable incomes or enough money to give away to back to you. But you're still like, well, hold on, what's going to make more money? If I fuck over the recovery to make a little more money on this side, it's just.
Yeah, imagine if we had to go back into lockdown in a year.
Yeah.
Is that going to be good for the economy? No, that's going to be terrible for everyone. So right. The sooner we get this over with, truly, or at least manageable, because we'll probably never be over with it. It's always going to be a thing because there are enough people refusing to get vaccinated that the virus will circulate through the population till we're all dead. At least get it under control so people can go back to living their lives and going on stupid vacations and buying toys at Disneyland and all that junk.
Yeah.
Let's just do that. But there is such an obsession in this country with intellectual property. Mm-hmm. Intellectual property matters more than human beings now.
Yeah.
Like, if you own intellectual property, you own the ability to use it and exploit it forever. And that's why, you know, nothing, no movie character or book ever goes into public domain anymore. Like, when Great Gatsby went into public domain, I was shocked.
But yeah,
right.
Mickey Mouse will never go into public domain, ever.
Right.
Well, oh, yeah, I don't know. Sure. Not if you listen to the lobbyists at the fucking MPAA. Like, they have people pushing, they have fucking people pushing against this right now because they're like, well, this could be too broad and this right. could have implications in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's what people in Hollywood always say. Well, how will this affect us? How will this affect Hollywood?
Don't worry, you fucking idiot. Just go.
If you want to see the power of intellectual property law in this country, just look at how many Pinocchio movies there are every year. And how many Robin Hood movies there are currently in production, like the two open source characters. They're like, we're going to want to green light about 45 of those for this calendar year.
Hollywood's so dumb. They're like, all right, so I guess that Moderna, that's just public domain. All right, can we turn that into a film? Is there any way to exploit that? Okay, we'll talk about it.
All right, let's talk about herd immunity, because
speaking of, it's bad.
We talked to a few weeks back about how we were like, you know, it was at peak. Everyone's getting their vaccines. We have enough vaccines. They're getting into people's arms. And now things have slowed.
Yeah. I mean, and like that, the concept of herd immunity was like the light at the end of the tunnel in the beginning of the lockdown. Is like, obviously, like we're going to eliminate this virus through herd immunity. And once we have the vaccines, this is how we will go back to normal. But things have just changed so rapidly that it doesn't even like, so in the beginning, the threshold for herd immunity was estimated to be 60 to 70%. That was even right. like Fauci saying that. Mm-hmm. And like, you know what? Yeah, that seems doable once we get all the vaccines out there and things like that. But as the vaccines are being like developed and things like that, the estimations began to change, because the first estimations were based on the first sort of original form of the virus and what we knew about it and what those transmission rates look like. But now that B.1.1.7 is the like predominant variant in the United States, and it's more transmissible. That's now moved our herd immunity threshold to be at least 80%. So 80% of the country needs to be vaccinated for us to have any semblance of herd immunity. And if you look at the latest numbers, you're looking at about a third of Americans that are anti-vax right now when it comes to the COVID vaccine. So how you get to 80 if you got at least 30% saying fuck no? They think some of that will change over time, but it's because of that and all of the misinformation, we're looking at a very difficult way of trying to tackle this, which now just seems like inoculating the most at risk. So we're not like flooding the hospitals with those people.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not going to be herd immunity.
You're saying that they're expecting the third of America being anti-vaxxers to change, or they're expecting that 80% needing to be vaccinated?
That third isn't necessarily nailed on. Like, it could shrink a bit as more people realize, like, okay, like, fuck it, I'll get it. But it's hard because there's also another poll that came out that a lot of the attitudes of people who don't want to be vaccinated is because A, they don't take the virus seriously, but also B, they are like, well, all the other herbs are getting vaccinated, so I'm good. I'll just coast off of them getting vaccinated. But assholes, guess what? If we're not at the herd immunity, like there's no people to draft off of in your pursuit of not getting vaccinated, because that's not going to be the way we're going to be safe. So people need to be vaccinated. Even that argument, because a lot of anti-vaxxers, when it even comes to child vaccines, are like, well, through the herd immunity, I know my child isn't going to get these illnesses because of herd immunity. That logic doesn't apply if we can't achieve any kind of herd immunity here anyway. So it's a bit of a weird fucking feedback loop that we're in. While, you know, we're clearly seeing the vaccination numbers starting to fall off a cliff a bit.
Well, and then beyond that, it's like by hoarding the vaccines in America, which now I would guess now some of those are just going vaccines and vaccine patents. It's like, yeah, I guess the other thing that's going to definitely guarantee this is even if you're a complete sociopath who doesn't care about other people, you can still think of India as just a vaccine population a COVID like variant generator.
Yeah,
like
the sheer number of people. Yeah, like the mutations are inevitable.
Yeah, it's just numbers. Yeah, so I guess we just live with this forever, or die with it forever.
They're all just saying, you know, what we can hope for, according to these experts, is like if we can get the vaccinations up, that coronavirus is just going to become something that's seasonal that affects mostly the young and healthy. But like that's about it. Otherwise, it's either going to be you die off because unfortunately you were vaccinated or whatever, for whatever reason.
Right.
But I don't know. So it's not ultimately though, all the experts are saying we still have to get vaccinated. Just because we can't reach herd immunity doesn't mean the vaccinations are moot at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
You absolutely need to ensure your own health through vaccination. And don't think that these other ways that you could get around it are actually valid, because if we don't have enough people vaccinated,
One and being one less vector.
Right.
That's the real thing. Like,
are there
might be fine
marketing campaigns? Because I know they're like conspicuously marketing campaigns aimed at like black people and, you know, elderly people. Are there
Republicans? We talked about the GOP doctors.
Right. But is that really all we're dealing with? Is that one like shitty viral video that
it seems like it. I mean, there have been I've been reading a lot of, there have been pastors who like in the South, like Bible Belt area, who are trying to get their congregants to get vaccinated. People trying to, but I don't know. The thing that they talk about in this Times piece, though, is that at the very least, people need to be, it seems like the way people, their attitudes change, if they're around others who aren't talking anti-vax bullshit, have gotten the vaccine, or like, what's wrong? Like, it's fine. It's normal. Versus if you're in an environment where it's a hot take to bring up the vaccine or whatever, it like the chance of you getting it like just exponentially go down. Right. So that's the one hope, is to like talk to your friends about.
Yeah. It's the peer group.
Yeah.
Right.
That like, yeah.
And yeah,
I was, this isn't like white conservatives, but like, like when I got my vaccines and I volunteered at a vaccine distribution, I knew this, but I kind of hadn't really processed that, like, so many in Southern California, but kind of a certain generation, so many nurses are Filipino,
mm-hmm.
and but they also are like very Catholic and very conservative. So it was truly just like, I was trying to get a gauge from some Filipino friends, like, are your super conservative parents getting this shit? And it was like, definitely some people's parents weren't. And I was like,
right.
This is an odd juxtaposition of populations to me.
Yeah. And I think that's what also makes just this, the herd immunity so difficult, because of just the geography of the United States and just how different neighborhood to neighborhood can be. Because when things like sanitation and income can determine what levels of hurt, like who needs to be, or like what levels need to be vaccinated, that shit can change within like a mile. So it's not, it's even harder to think like it's this one blanket sort of prescription. Although really the prescription is just to get your ass vaccinated.
Right, but from there, the prescription data is so the same. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the Pope told Catholics to get the vaccination. That one should be easy.
And the Pope also sometimes tells them that the death penalty is wrong, and that hasn't changed American Catholics very much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's selective probably Pope. Not talking to God on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so funny though, because like when you're around like Catholics really fuck with the Pope, like if you joke about that shit, they're not having it.
No.
So, but I'm like, well, hold on, man. You can't have that energy because I made a Pope joke, but then you're like selectively being like, I don't agree with him on that shit about gay people. Like, well, hold on.
Right.
I'm sorry. What? All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Let's talk about some lighter stuff, such
lighter
as
than these jokey kids.
Did you guys see the picture of the Bidens with the Carters?
Yes.
Right, right.
Looking like actual human giants next to the Carters.
It was it's my favorite photo right now.
Like the Carter, I don't know whether to be terrified of the Bidens or like really, you know, worried about the fact that the Carters are deflating.
Yeah, the jokes were pretty funny that were coming out. But I mean, clearly a lot of lens distortion, but it's nice to see, because I remember looking at them like, hold on, so they got custom built tiny chairs? Because I'm like, based on how Joe is stacking up, he can't fit in that chair. I think is this a tiny room they had made? But you're like, it's a wide angle.
Yeah. So I did like a bunch of research on, not a bunch, like 20 minutes of research on just how this happens, and finding like pictures that were taken with a wide angle versus a, you know, regular angle, and like the person looks completely different. Like they look like a different person.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Sort of distorting, yeah, your features and shit.
Yeah, like if you're up close to something with a wide angle, like you'll look like a completely different person than you normally look like. It's pretty wild.
They were so little though. I mean, just tiny.
It makes me mad that they aren't that little.
I know.
Like I like to think like you just shrink into a little fun person, you right. know, when you're out
as
of
you
office.
Age. You do shrink a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely shrink for sure. But like this looked like, you know, Tolkien type shit.
Yeah, totally. It did.
Right. I kind of want to see the Carters with Jay-Z, the other Carters, Jay-Z and Beyonce and the kids. I want to see the Carters and the Carters.
All the Carters.
Yeah, I want to see all of them with different families, you know,
but
family matter, family.
Switch it up so Jay and Beyonce are the tiny ones. And June and Jimmy are like just towering over them like, hey.
Right.
Jimmy Carter. I love Jimmy Carter, though, man. Dude sold his peanut farm to become president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at him. And he put up solar panels on the fucking White House.
He did.
And he's had.
Yeah. And then Reagan took him right down.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. You know, good old Ron. Ron was like, this going to mess up my satellite for my TV shows.
He's like, how am I going to get the latest crack statistics? Get the shit on my roof.
Crack statistics.
Got the crack ticker in the Oval Office.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Ron.
Nancy. It's wild that, like, they get credit as being like more down to earth than Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter let people like smoke weed on the roof of the White House. But Nancy Reagan was consulting a like psychic, basically an astrologer for her.
What was her thing? She like
policy.
Chewed her food 100 times before she'd swallow it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's time to eat like
that. Well, her mom would chew it 100 times before dropping it into her mouth.
Oh, because
she's a little bird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen the picture of Nancy Reagan with Mr. T? I think Nancy Reagan's sitting on Mr. T's lap.
Yeah.
The best picture.
One of the greats. Captures a moment in time.
So funny.
Will never be recreated.
Any celebrity who came to that White House, every photo looks surreal.
Yeah.
You know, even like that Patrick Ewing one.
Yeah.
You know, you're
just like, Patrick Ewing and John Thompson. The '80s were a wild, bad but very fun to look at era. Let's talk about MDMA.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So we've talked in the past about how therapists who treat PTSD are like very encouraged by early trials of MDMA when paired with, you know, actual therapy. So they finally got this sort of major groundbreaking study, double blind. You know, had a significant number of people, and they found that 2 months after treatment, 67% of participants in The MDMA group no longer qualified for a diagnosis of PTSD compared with 32% in the placebo group. So the placebo group got placebos, but then they also did the therapy. So this guy, Gull Dolan, who's a neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins, who has like no involvement, is just like, from an outside perspective, this is about as exciting as clinical trials get. There's nothing like this in clinical trial results for neuropsychiatric disease. So yeah, it's just super encouraging. I feel like this is something that should be a movement over the course of like this entire next like generation of humans, that like there's a reason people were risking their lives and you know, their freedom to self-medicate with these drugs. It's like there's something useful. And if you use them in a very controlled environment, like it's going to be powerful. Like if you just take seriously the experience of drug users who say, actually, like psychedelics gave me a really positive shift in like my mental spiritual life, like that. Like if you think about like if any of the other, you know, if like Paxil or like one of the Prozac was taken off the market tomorrow, there wouldn't be like a booming Paxil or Prozac market where like people are smuggling those drugs, because they're just not like, I think that combining the market instincts of just like people and like the black market with what we're able to find through like clinical trials, I feel like could be a big deal, could be really useful to science.
Totally.
I think the thing that makes it really psychedelics advantageous in sort of a therapeutic context is that, like, you know, like when you're partying on them, what you feel is this like openness, you know, that's why people enjoy that, because it allows you to sort of experience yourself in a way that is completely uninhibited, like you might normally be if you're not taking psychedelics. But on a very small level, it's that openness that helps along with the therapy to really examine shit to get through it, because we have so many walls up and trauma causes all these fucked up ways we try and protect ourselves, that it's more like, let's melt those walls down so we can fucking get like really to some healing. It's true. I think the next few years are really pivotal, because it's almost like we need to start also, we need to have more of a, I mean, there's clearly a movement to move away from just like drugs that are just going to mask things and actually trying to figure out how we can improve things for someone rather than to just make things bearable. And I think this is a really important step. And for years, a lot of people have been pointing to this year. They felt like 2021 could be the year where we're going to finally start getting some like legal MDMA to start using in these therapeutic settings. Yeah. And I mean, all you read and hear are just like really interesting stories of how much it's helped people. And yeah, who'd have thought that it would work better than the ones that are just meant to sort of numb you?
Yeah. It's deep.
Yeah. This one person's experience, I always find like descriptions of psychedelic experiences kind of mind blowing, because they reveal the power of the mind. Like this person describes their experience in the therapeutic setting, and it's basically like this drug gives him access to a part of his mind that just creates this like beautiful surrealist work of art that his brain was just producing in the background in order to allow him to heal himself. Like, so it's talking about this guy Ostrom, who was in Iraq. His days were punctuated by panic attacks. He had nightmares, like really vivid nightmares about like being stuck in a town, like cut off from his troop, and like being followed around by insurgents. The bullets, like instead of firing out of his gun, would like dribble out of his gun. And so he like dropped out of college, pushed friends and family away, got into an unhealthy relationship, was charged with assault and attempted suicide. So then he does this therapy, and they describe his sessions. He now says he's literally a different person. During his first of three sessions in early 2019, lying on a couch with eye shades and in a lucid dreamlike state, Mr. Ostrom encountered a spinning oily black ball. Like an onion, the ball had many layers, each one a memory. At the center, Mr. Ostrom relived the moment in Iraq. He said that I became the person I needed to be to survive that combat deployment. Over the next two sessions, Mr. Ostrom engaged with, quote, the bully, as he calls his PTSD alter ego, and asked permission for Scott to return. That was who he was before the war. Now he works steadily as an HVAC specialist, owns a home, which he shares with his girlfriend, has a service dog. And he says, the reason I like calling this medicine is it's stimulated my own consciousness's yeah. ability for self-healing. You understand why it's okay to experience unconditional love for yourself. Like that, for that passage really gets it. Like what I find so promising is like the thing that gets in the way of our, you know, psychiatric progress is like that the mind is this massive, powerful, constantly shifting, just more complicated than we could even possibly like conceive of thing that we mostly don't have access to, like with our conscious mind. And like the fact that this just gives you access to this thing that's so much more powerful than you can imagine, as opposed to, like you were saying, Miles, as opposed to like numbing one part of that thing, or you know, separating us from the effects of that thing. Like I feel like that is kind of, again, it could be like a sea change in.
Yeah, because I think it's like almost undoing all of this shit that we have societally that creates, that puts us in the condition we're in currently.
Yeah.
And it, and depending on if the environments you grew up in and your experiences were traumatic and things like that, that on top of all of this can create a situation where it can become nearly impossible to have a level of self-examination or awareness, because you've had to build up so many layers to survive and just prolong your experience, even no matter how tormented it is, that you sort of need this to, like, again, this idea that experiencing unconditional love for yourself, I think, sounds foreign to most people. Well, at least in America, like right. a lot of people, maybe on a, you know, Pinterest way, know loving yourself, but in a very truly holistic idea of like what that means to engage in, you know, practicing unconditional love for yourself, to treat yourself with kindness, to be aware that there is a relationship between you and yourself that you have to enrich. I think, it's just one of those things that you can like feel vibrationally in those moments.
Yeah, just reading the, and you know, psilocybin has been used for people who are about to die, like they get to have these clinical experiences where they encounter that. And I don't know, it just makes me wonder like why we wait to give people a fear of death curing like circumspection pill until they are about to die. Like what if our teachers and police and leaders and, you know, all had the opportunity to view the world with that wider lens, maybe we wouldn't have as many soldiers coming home from wars with PTSD in the first place.
To consider what it means to be human.
Right.
Then you'll have people like Elon Musk, like, I microdose all the time.
It's
really fucking trippy.
Right.
I don't know why he became Snake from The Simpsons, but I think there is like to pair it with like the desire to improve yourself and having someone there to help you with that professionally, I think is like, man, I hope this will become the norm. Because so much of our medicine and things like that is just to get people to like zero or like neutral, never to go past that, or, you know, just to make things bearable, like rather than how can we actually help everyone push past certain things and actually enrich themselves.
Ooh. That's so funny.
Shout out to mushrooms.
The tech industry. It's funny that the tech industry is using this tool for like greater human understanding and like circumspection to like, it makes me better at capitalism, dude. Makes me, I'm like so much like just on it, you know, in the pocket, ready to go.
Just thinking it's outside the box on how to exploit all this intellectual property. You know what I mean?
Of course they are, though.
Fuck, man.
Oh, shit. Okay. So I came up with NFTs.
Yeah. Oh, that's total. NFTs right. is totally mushrooms, though. That's totally just.
Yeah, that's some mushroom trip. hold on. I got some. Like, oh, right. Fuck. Get it away from these people.
Oh, no. All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.